good morning.
Good morning.
We are so glad that you're here with us on this Pentecost Sunday. And I always love Pentecost Sunday. I like it when we get to release our balloons and let them go and just watch where the wind takes them. And Jesus said in John chapter 3, that's kind of the way the Spirit is, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit blows and moves according to God's will. And sometimes we don't always know how that's going to be, but that's where faith comes in. And today we're going to be celebrating together, and I'm so glad that you're all here with us today. And a little bit later on, we're going to be talking a little bit about the importance of Pentecost and that filling that God wants to continue to do in our lives all the time, and to help us in our lives. So as we begin, let's stand together today and join and sing our Gloria Patria.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Well, let's join together there for our call to worship in the bulletin. The Spirit descends like a dove.
Bring peace.
The Spirit comes like a breath. The Spirit spreads like fire.
Bring energy for service in the church and world.
Spirit of the living God,
come to us and transform our lives by your power.
Well, let's join together. You can't turn in your hymn books this morning. This is an old hymn, one of my favorites for Pentecost Sunday. I think we sang it a couple years ago, and I hope that if you don't know this, you'll pick up on it here rather quickly.
They were in an upper chamber, they were all with one accord, when the Holy Spirit descended, as was promised by the Lord. Oh Lord, send the power just now. Oh Lord, send the power just now. Oh Lord, send the power just now, and baptize everyone. Yes, the power from heaven descended with the sound of a rushing wind. Tongues of fire came down upon them as the Lord said he would send. Oh Lord, send the power just now. Oh Lord, send the power just now. Oh Lord, send the power just now, and baptize everyone. Yes, this old time power was given to our ancestors who were true. This is promised to believers, and we all may have it too. Oh send the power just now. Oh Lord, send the power just now. Oh Lord, send the power just now, and baptize. Sing the chorus again. Oh Lord, send the power just now. Oh Lord, send the power just now. Oh Lord, send the power just now, and baptize everyone.
Let's join together there for our opening prayer in the bulletin. Gentle God, with joyful hearts we celebrate the work of your Spirit in the world, bringing renewal to your church and to the faithful followers of Jesus Christ. May we experience your life-giving energy as we worship this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. And I'm going to invite our kids this morning If they would come down.
Morning. As we go to our time of prayer this morning, maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share with us this morning, someone this morning. Go ahead.
I've got four. One is for Ellie.
Okay, so we want to remember Ellie this morning and continue to lift her up. And we want to pray for Mary, who had a stroke, and asking for God's touch. Trevor, the one that's been battling that cancer for so long and continues to hang on and keep going somehow. And we want to lift him up. And then for Barney this morning. We know God knows maybe what's going on there. So someone else this morning. Someone else.
Cameron, my grandson, he had that metal rod put in his leg, and he had that metal rod put in his knee and stuff for after that accident. He's having a lot of pain, and they're going to go in 2 weeks and take out that metal, all that metal in there, and hopefully that'll help him relieve some of that pain. This is just
You know, there's a possibility, I don't know for sure, but there could have been a possibility he was still growing some. And that may be why he's, so we want to keep Cameron in. Do you when did you say he's going to be? Do you know when he's?
2 weeks.
2 weeks, okay. They're going to be doing surgery. Yeah. And so we want to remember Cameron this morning. And then I saw another one.
Janet's doctor, she fell at in the hospital, and then inserted the tube in her lung, and it's drained a lot of fluid. So she's just having a rough time.
Okay. Someone else. I thought I saw another. Yeah, Linda. Okay, so we want to pray for Janet, which I forgot to mention, who fell and had this fluid on the lungs. And then we want to pray for Greg for direction, wisdom, and guidance and all of that, and how to handle all of that and what they want to do there. And someone else. Yeah. Oh, wow. That's horrible. We need to keep the Bowser family in our prayers this morning and the extended family. That's never easy when that happens. And yeah. Okay. So we want to remember Bonnie in our prayers as she's going over for tests. And I saw another hand. Okay, I heard the unspoken, but I didn't hear the last one. Oh, Danny, yes. Thank you. We can. We want to continue to lift up Danny. And then we know God knows this unspoken need. Anybody else this morning? Yeah. Yes,
and prayers, and ask for continued prayers.
Yeah, and we are very grateful and thankful, that's for sure. And appreciate your prayers there. Someone else.
Kay Maitland.
Yeah, we want to continue to lift up Kay as she is at Troy Rehab. I don't know what else to call it besides Troy Rehab. It's been through so many different names. She's doing well. I saw her this week. But it's going to be a long road. She's at 50%. The doctor's only allowing her to put 50% weight on her leg. So the physical therapists have been doing therapy in her bed or seated or however that is. They're doing it that way right now. And then when the doctor starts to allow her to put more weight on, then they'll be able to probably do physical therapy with her with a walker. She said it's very painful when they get her up to go to the bathroom, and just putting, you know, a teeny bit, you know, on that leg. So it's got to be doing some healing there with because of the what had happened and the break and everything that took place. So definitely want to keep Kay in our prayers, and also asking for prayers for Gerald. This is a relation, and I don't know the exact because I don't have the slip of paper in front of me, related to Connie Clevenger, that young little one that had to have surgery. I haven't heard any more all that's going on, but we definitely need to continue to pray for God's healing touch and miracle there. And so that's the one that's listed there on our list, prayer list today. Anybody else then this morning before we go to prayer?
I think we should have a toy with a Miami Heat girl.
Yes. Yes. Even though they did not get past that state semifinal game, we are so proud of them and everything that they did this year. And they had five seniors, but they all a lot of the rest of the team was younger, sophomores and stuff. And there's some freshmen that'll be coming in that are going to be some good softball players too. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in the next couple years with them. So, well, if there's no one else, we're going to go ahead and Carlo will play. He'll give you a chance to name some of these names and lift them up to God as you remember them. And then I will come and close this out in prayer. We are just so thankful today that we have the opportunity to gather together as your people. And that is when you come and you've chosen. I don't know the exact reason, but you have chosen in that kind of a setting to come and work and move by your Holy Spirit in our midst. So we ask that you would do that today, working in our hearts and our lives and our community of faith. And we're also thankful for the Holy Spirit who helps us to know how to pray when sometimes we're not sure how to pray in situations. And Lord, we lift up those that have been mentioned. We lift them up each by name today. We lift up Ellie to you. We lift up Mary to you. We lift up Trevor. We lift up Barney. We lift up Cameron. We lift up Janet. We lift up Greg. We lift up Bonnie to you. We lift up Danny. We lift up Bruce. We lift up Gerald. And we lift up Kay, God. Each of these that have been mentioned that are in need of your healing touch, your healing grace. We pray for those that are recovering. We pray for those that are going to be facing surgery. We pray that each one of them, as we lift them up, Lord, you know the situation and what's going on there. And we also lift up the Bowser family today with the loss of this 21-year-old. Oh, Lord. Lord, that just breaks my heart to hear that. And I just pray for your peace and your comfort and your love for those family members right now with the loss. Oh, God, you are the only one that can do a work in our hearts and lives in the process of grieving and how difficult that is. And I just ask that you would minister as only you can do. Also, Lord, we lift up these, or this unspoken request today, Lord. We know that you know the situation there, and we just ask that you would minister as only you can do. And Lord, we just continue to pray for the situation between Russia and Ukraine. God, we pray that somehow that there will be a ceasing of the conflict, and there will be a way that there can be reconciliation and peace that can come about. And we continue to pray for our community. We continue to pray for each one that's here today. Lord, maybe someone came in today and they've been having a difficult week and there's some things they cannot share. But Lord, you know, and I ask by your Holy Spirit that you would just work and encourage and strengthen and lift us up as you send us forth today. And I ask that your blessing will be on the rest of this time. As we break the bread of your word, may you speak to us. And as we break the bread and drink of the cup and share at the table today, that your presence would be real, that you would fill us again, Lord, and refresh us, that we can go forth and be your people in this world. As we ask it now in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Well, thank you for joining with us in prayer this morning. And now we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving. And once again, I want to thank you for your faithfulness. And we know that God is the one that provides for us. And as we give today, we do to further his work in this world. So as our ushers come, God bless you as you give today. Well, let's join together there for our prayer of dedication. Generous God, we ask for your bold spirit to multiply our offering to further your work. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Our scripture reading this morning is coming from two passages. Both of them are the lectionary readings for Pentecost Sunday. The first one, the familiar one to us, is the Acts chapter 2 story of the day of Pentecost. And then also we're going to be reading from Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17 this morning. So let's begin there with Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. When Pentecost Day arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound from heaven, like the howling of a fierce wind, filled the entire house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be individual flames of fire alighting on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. There were pious Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. When they heard this sound, a crowd gathered. They were mystified because everyone heard them speaking in their native languages. They were surprised and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all the people who are speaking Galileans? How then can each of them, how then can each of us hear them speaking in our native language? Parthians, Medes, the Elamites, as well as the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, and Pontus, and Asia, and Phrygia, and Pamphylia, and Egypt, and the regions of Libya, bordering Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Judeans and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the mighty works of God in our own languages." They were all surprised and bewildered. Some ask each other, "What does this mean?" Others jeered at them, saying, "Ah, they're full of new wine." And then from Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 16, "All who are led by God's Spirit are God's sons and daughters. You didn't receive a spirit of slavery to lead you back again into fear, but you received a spirit that shows you are adopted as his children. With this spirit, we cry, 'Abba, Father.' The same spirit agrees with our spirit that we are God's children." That is God's word for us today. And I pray that the Lord will add his blessing to the reading and hearing of the word, and that the Spirit will help us to hear what God wants us to hear this morning. Amen. Amen. Well, there was an elderly lady who came into church one Sunday, and she was greeted at the doors of the sanctuary by one of the ushers. Said, "Good morning, ma'am. It's good to have you with us today." Gave her a bulletin and said, "Is there a place you would like me to help you to find a seat?" She said, "I want to sit right up front, right in front of the preacher." The usher goes, "Oh, ma'am, let me just tell you something. I don't know if you really want to sit right up front in front of the preacher, because he gets kind of boring and dry at times." The little old lady said, "Sir, do you know who I am?" And the usher said, "No, I do not." She goes, "That preacher is my son." Well, the usher thought for a minute and he said, "Ma'am, do you know who I am?" And she said, "No, I don't." And he said, "Thank God." I want to talk to you this morning about fill us, Lord. Fill us, Lord. So how many of you like celebrating holidays? How many of you like celebrating holidays? Yeah. We just celebrated Memorial Day, and it won't be too long, and we're going to be celebrating the 4th of July. And I think people like to celebrate holidays because they get a day off from work. Or maybe if you're like me, it's because it's a day when you can get together with your family and friends and enjoy a good cookout and maybe get filled up a little bit, if you know what I mean. Pentecost has great meaning for the Israelites. Since it originally, if you go back to the Old Testament and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and look at some passages in those books, Pentecost was originally celebrated as the first fruits of the harvest. It was originally called the Festival of Weeks, and it came in the middle, what we would think of as the middle of summer. But for them, that was harvest time. And they would celebrate and come together, and they would bring food, and they would eat, and they would also bring the first fruits of their harvest and bring it to the temple as an offering of worship to God, and they would celebrate, and they would get filled up a little bit. For Christians, Pentecost celebrates the giving and receiving of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the church. And as I was rereading the story this week, I noticed once again of the significance of being filled with God's Holy Spirit. And as I looked at the story carefully, it reminded me of the importance of two things. And that's what I want to focus on for just a few moments this morning before we celebrate communion together. And I hope it will help us to understand what God has done and continues to do in the life of His church today. So let's begin here, first of all, with the first one here, and that is the Holy Spirit in God's church. The Holy Spirit in God's church. Now, when you read this here as at the beginning of the story, it's obvious that the Holy Spirit comes to God's gathered people. That just really jumped out at me this week, and that was one of the things that I kept trying to work and think about why that's so significant. Because the way the Holy Spirit works in the church is when God's people come together and they are unified and they are worshiping together and praying together. That's when God's presence and Spirit works. Notice the way Luke conveys this. Back in chapter 1, they were all together praying. In chapter 2, which we read this morning, they were all together in one place. And then notice how Luke keeps telling the story. All of a sudden, a strong wind filled the entire house, the place that they had gathered at. And then he talks about how flames that look like little flames of fire kind of descended over the top of their heads. This symbolic image of the presence of God. And then Luke says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, as I was looking at that and thinking about those, the way Luke was telling that story, some things jumped out at me. Something mysterious and powerful takes place when we gather as God's people. In the Bible study this morning before church service, we were talking a little bit about how Jesus meets us where we are and comes to our level and works in our lives in different ways. And I was telling them about, I was going to talk a little bit about this in the message this morning, about how God's presence and Spirit comes and works when we are gathered together as God's people. And I said, sometimes it's really obvious and powerful, like we saw on the Sunday when we baptized those 11 people and took them in and confirmed their faith and they became members and all of that. That was such a beautiful picture. But then there's other times when we don't see that, but we still come and gather. And I was sharing with them, I said, sometimes I think God plants a seed in our hearts, maybe a word in our hearts during that service. It didn't mean anything to us. Maybe we left the service and thought, boy, I didn't get much out of that sermon or that hymn or whatever it may, you know, sometimes our thinking goes. But then 3 years later, we're facing a situation and all of a sudden that hymn or that sermon comes popping back into our head and helps us get through that time. That's the Holy Spirit working in our midst. And all of this, I mean, I've always believed that, you know, that God works like that and the Spirit works like that. But when COVID hit, it became more real to me. Because when COVID hit and we got into the bad part of it, remember, we couldn't gather for worship for several months. And something was missing when we couldn't gather. I know I came in and I recorded a service for you and you were able to listen online. And that was probably a blessing because some of you told me it was. But still, there was something missing that we couldn't physically be all together. We couldn't gather for worship. We couldn't, for some of us, we couldn't gather with families. We couldn't connect with our friends and people. But I think again, what Luke says there, when they were all together in that one place, worshiping and praying, suddenly, the Spirit of God showed up and did a work in their midst. And that's the way God sometimes and oftentimes will work. We think nothing is happening, then suddenly something happens and God does a work in our lives or in somebody else's life, family member, whoever. And out of that, then, the Holy Spirit empowers God's gathered people. That's the whole purpose of the story that Luke's trying to convey to us, that the Holy Spirit empowered them to go forth. The Holy Spirit was revealed in the wind and the fire, and then they're speaking these other languages. They were all signs of God's presence. And when they were empowered, did you catch what Luke said when he was telling the story? That all these people that had gathered from all far and wide and come into Jerusalem for the celebration of Pentecost, speaking in their own languages from where they came from, when they heard that those disciples and maybe up to 150 of them, like Luke tells us in chapter 1, that as they began to speak, it says that the people heard them praising and declaring God's wonders and mighty works. And it reminds me again what mystery, what wonder, and what power happens when God's people come together and worship together. The Holy Spirit in God's church. Second thing is the Holy Spirit is God's presence. Now, I've already been alluding to that in that first part, but I just want to draw on that a little bit further from Luke and also from what Paul says there. And this first part here is what Paul tells us. The Holy Spirit affirms God working in us. The Holy Spirit helps confirm that, as Paul says, that we are God's children, that we are sons and daughters. We're not slaves. I mean, think about that in the Roman Empire. Think about if you were a slave in the Roman Empire and you had come to faith in Jesus and you heard Paul declare, you're not slaves anymore, you're sons and daughters. What does that mean? That means that they are the heirs of the household. Now, in the Roman Empire, slaves were nobody. They were at the bottom of the totem pole. And Paul goes on, and we didn't read the rest of the verses because they weren't a part of the lectionary reading. But if you went on, he says, we are heirs with Christ of all that God has for us. And the Holy Spirit's presence then not only confirms that we are God's sons and daughters, but the Holy Spirit's presence, if you go all the way down to verse 26, 27, 28 in that same chapter 8, Paul says the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives helps us to be able to pray when we don't know how to pray. Have you ever been facing a situation and you had no idea how to pray about it? How to ask God to do a work in that situation? I have on many occasions. And I just would say, Lord, I don't know how to pray about this. But I said, you work in that situation. You do that work there. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will give us the words to say. And then as Luke emphasizes, the Holy Spirit helps us to declare God's mighty works to others. Why? Why is that? Because the Holy Spirit brings the wonder of what God does. Sometimes God brings signs and wonders, visions and dreams. If you read on down through the story there further. And my first thought is, don't miss out. Don't become skeptical and say, they're just drinking new wine, like we read in our reading this morning. Or maybe I should say it this way. Maybe you were praying about something and you had some assurance in your heart when you prayed that God was going to answer that. But guess what? You haven't seen the answer yet. And it's been years. And maybe you're giving up. Don't give up so easily on what God might do. Let me tell you a story real quickly. I've shared this maybe twice here. Some of you, this will be new to you. The last year at my last church, I was invited and my associate with me. We went over into Pennsylvania, which was 15, 20 minutes away, to a pastor's kind of retreat service. And there was a guy, I don't know where he was from. He came and he preached. We sang hymns and choruses and worshiped, and he came and preached. And at the end, he said, I want to invite all of you pastors up because I want to pray over you. And talk about the Holy Spirit praying through somebody. This happened to this. That happened. That guy prayed through. When he got to me, he started praying. And I don't even remember anything anymore except the part about, and I thank you, Lord, for the $80,000 that you are going to bring in to meet a need for this man. Well, after we left, my associate and I were like, well, we just built a new building in the church, and it's got to be for that. I don't know the exact number, so don't quote me on this. 2 or 3 years, a long time later, from about 2001 to 2005, I started here. 2 or 3 years later, a check for $79,000 and some dollars came into this church from somebody that left the money. Those of you that see the monthly treasurer's report in there that says Walker CD, there's $40,000. That's some of that money. The other $40,000, we put a new sound system in, we put air conditioning in, throughout our building. Now, if I go on and tell you the rest of the story of everything that happened between that pastoring that church and coming to this one, my wife at that time and I separated, divorced, the most hurting time in my life I ever went through in my life. And God, way before any of that started to happen, and before I even knew anything about Lost Creek or any of you, God had already spoken through that guy and prayed that God would meet a need in this church before I even got here. And that still blows my mind. You might be thinking, I can't believe that. Well, I can't either, and it happened. And it wasn't until we got that money that that memory came back up into my mind. And I thought, oh my gosh, Lord, look what you did. What if we remained open to the possibility that God is still speaking and moving? What if we backed off of our skepticism, and I fall into it too, and truly listen for the visions of the youth and the dreams of the older? We might be surprised what God might do if we assume that God can use any of us to be a channel of the Holy Spirit. Sons and daughters, young and old, from every class and background, as Peter will go on to preach if you read the rest of the chapter. Let me tell you, in these days that we are facing today, we need God's Holy Spirit. We need the fresh presence of the Spirit in our lives and in our church so that we can continue to do all that God has called us to do. Fill us up, Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, we are going to prepare for communion this morning. And like we always do, we always begin our preparation for coming together at the table by sharing in our thanksgiving and confession together. So let's begin by doing that this morning, if you would join with me in prayer today. We thank you, O Lord, for the gift of Pentecost. Cleanse us and fill us with your Holy Spirit as we partake of your table. Set our hearts ablaze with the fire of your love, that we may serve you to the full. Amen. Amen. Receive of the Lord today as we share at the table. As always, as I share, the table is open to all. I believe Jesus invites all to receive of his grace and his presence as we share together. So I'm going to invite our deacons and deaconesses that are going to be helping us out this morning. If you would begin to make your way, and we are going to share with the elements together this morning at the table.
night when they were gathered together, Jesus took the bread. He broke it, and he gave thanks and passed it among them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do it in remembrance of me." Let's partake this morning.
As we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. Well, we're going to just go ahead and stand, and we're going to go right into our chorus. We'll have some time to talk during fellowship hour and outside with our balloons. And so let's go ahead and stand together. We're going to sing, "Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place," 301, if you want to sing it from the hymn book. We're going to sing it through twice this morning. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, Thou art welcome. Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, Thou art welcome. join together for our benediction. With each direction of the divine wind, may we reach out to the God of inspiration.
May the Spirit of Christ guide us to sleep.
May the Spirit surround us, filling our hearts with dreams, our minds with visions, and our souls with the energy to live the realm of God on earth. Amen.